This is Radio Superior 1929, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1920s. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is radio station KUWS, broadcasting from Superior, Wisconsin, USA. We wish you a very pleasant good evening, and this is Jack McKenna speaking. It's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, Tuesday, October the 8th, 1929. Mr. Lou Martin has the 5 o'clock report with news that Colonel Charles Lindbergh has found some ancient Mayan ruins, and we have Dorothy Dick's advice about the problem with kids today. The 5 o'clock news is brought to you by E.T. Barron Company with the new Brunswick radio for $148, complete with the free home demonstration. E.T. Barron Company, authorized Superior dealer for Brunswick radios. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Lucky Lindy finds Mayan ruins while natives flee from the huge bird as it circles over the dense jungle. And new British Prime Minister Ramsay MacDonald meets with President Hoover. We begin our world report from British Honduras.
This is Stan Turner reporting by special wireless from Belize, British Honduras. Colonel Charles A. Lindbergh, flying Sunday over the once broad empire of the ancient Maya Indians on the Yucatan Peninsula, discovered a large ruined city hitherto unknown to science. The ruins were located in an area in which no human habitation was seen, where there was no open water, and where for many miles on any side it is impenetrable jungle populated by ferocious bears, boa constrictors, and poisonous insects. Radio messages received here from Colonel Lindbergh's plane gave only meager details of the city, but indicates that since the plane is far from its starting place, it is necessary to hurry on. The party saw the first Yucatan settlement, primitive villages of a primitive Indian race, as the giant plane circled above them. The natives fled in all directions. They sought cover from the strange bird from another world, as strange to them, probably, as were Cortez's sailing ships to the minions of Montezuma 400 years ago. The territory in which the supposed new city was discovered is in what is known as Northern Peñan, a district on which no white man has set his eyes before now. The party left Tico at noon. 15 minutes later, they picked out the snow-white temple at Buenchactum, grotesquely sculptured in its blanched beauty in the deep green of the surrounding jungle. From Buenchactum, the plane headed north to an unexplored area where the new ruins were found. In Belize, British Honduras, this is your reporter, Stan Turner.
This is Henry T. Russell in Washington. Announcement of invitations yesterday to the London Five Power Naval Conference gave assurance that Prime Minister Ramsay MacDonald's mission of friendship to the United States has made an auspicious start. With Secretary of State Henry Stimson at the side of President Hoover, Prime Minister MacDonald reached an understanding during their weekend conversations at the isolated Rapidan Mountain Camp that will prevent the United States and Great Britain from being a stumbling block at the next naval conference as they were at Geneva in 1927. Japan, France, and Italy are ready to join the United States and Britain in this conference. It is to be held in London in January 1930. It will undertake to complete the work of the Washington Arms Conference in 1929, which was unable to agree on limitation of any war vessels except battleships. Efforts to extend limits to cruisers, destroyers, and submarines failed at Geneva because the United States and Britain were at loggerheads. Once President Hoover was inaugurated, he set out to reverse the failure, which was rapidly jeopardizing friendship between the two nations. When MacDonald became Prime Minister the 1st of June, they began a series of friendly exchanges designed to reach an agreement. A Freedom of the Seas treaty may eventuate based upon the Kellogg-Briand Peace Pact, but that is still some time off. The MacDonalds will remain at the White House tonight. The Prime Minister will sleep in the famous Lincoln bed. They will depart for Philadelphia tomorrow. With the Prime Minister and President stateside, this is Henry T. Russell.
From Washington, President Hoover's plan of developing inland and Great Lakes waterways is to be put in effect at once. Colonel Edward M. Markham has been ordered from Fort Humphreys, Virginia, to Cleveland, Ohio, to take charge of the development of Great Lakes waterways. KUWS Radio News Time is 5:07. Jack McKenna has this message from E.T. Barron Company.
I wonder how the folks are getting their radio signal these days, Lou. Sometimes it gets pretty awesome. Sometimes it gets pretty bad if you haven't got a good radio. And I'm talking a good radio, folks. The Magic Brunswick test for tone enables you to compare actual studio broadcasting with radio reception. They sell for just $148. Listen to me now. That's a beautiful cabinet radio on legs. In other words, it'd be a nice addition to your furniture at home. And the nicest part of it is it has tone that sounds like they're in the next room. Real, real tone that's good for your ears. And then you can hear our show even a little better. Lou might even sound good. The new Brunswick radio at E.T. Barron Company, authorized superior dealer for Brunswick radio and records, 1108 Tower Avenue. How's that, Lou?
Three were arraigned in municipal court today on charges of violating the city's liquor ordinance. 40-year-old Andrew Hansen and 41-year-old Peter Johnson each paid $200 and costs after pleading guilty before Judge F.S. Parker. The DAR is taking over part of the Brule River Forest. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has that story.
Good evening, Lou. The Wisconsin Daughters of the American Revolution will plant trees on a special 320-acre tract at Brule. This was learned today with the announcement from Mrs. F.W. Buckley, who returned from the state conference of the DAR. The chapter has concluded acquiring this land from the state and would proceed at once to plant trees. There are 320 acres of land in the section of cutover timberland adjacent to the town of Brule in Douglas County. The state will furnish the trees from state nurseries at a nominal charge. The area called Sandy Run runs through the property, making an ideal spot for picnic grounds, which the society plans on establishing soon. The ball grounds just across the depot at Brule will be maintained, and plans are being formulated for a game reserve and bird refuge, Lou.
All arrangements are complete for the Leif Erikson Festival to be held at the Oddfellows Hall tomorrow night, sponsored by the Sons and Daughters of Norway and the Northern Male Chorus. The speaker will be Judge T.O. Gilbert, Grand President of the Sons of Norway. The Northern Male Chorus will sing several numbers on the program and will be assisted by several other artists. Piano selections by Virginia Franklin, violin solos by Dr. C.F. Rolofsson, and a vocal solo by Florence Newman. Jack.
Watch out for those Sons of Norway.
What do you mean, watch out for the Sons of Norway? They're a bunch of nice fellas getting together for a nice time.
They're all right until they don their Viking helmets. Those horns do something to them. They get all rowdy, and they want to attack the Oddfellows Hall or the Normandy Club. Thanks, Lou. Let's check the forecast from United States Weather Bureau for this Tuesday, October 8th, 1929. More fair weather ahead with beautiful fall temperatures of 40 degrees for tonight's low and topping out at a luscious 65 degrees tomorrow. It's music time. Here's Gus Arnheim and his Coconut Grove Orchestra with the vocals of Lois Whiteman and by A Lazy Country Lane on the Martin and McKenna Show. Thank you. Lois Whiteman doing the singing and Gus Arnheim's orchestra doing the playing of By a Country Lane. No, By a Lazy Country Lane. Should know better. What you got there, Lou?
A cup of coffee. Want some?
Sure, I'll take a bit of Java, but no cow.
I hate it when you try to speak Tin Pan Alley lingo.
The new winter rates are in effect at Superior's modern new fireproof hotel. The Android Hotel has monthly room rates at $25, $35, and $40. For corner front apartments, well, it gets a little pricey at $75 a month. So phone Broad 3400 and ask about the new winter rates at Superior's Deluxe Android Hotel.
Here, Java, no bull.
That's Java, no cow, Lou. Let's enjoy the fine music of Fred Rich and his Hotel Astor Orchestra. And It All Depends on You, baby, on the Martin and McKenna Hepcat Show.
I can be bad, it all depends on you. I can be lonely out in a crowd. I can be humble, I can be proud. It all depends on you. I can save money or spend it, go right on living, or end it, you're to blame, honey, for what I do. I know that I can be beggar, I can be king, I can be almost any old thing. It all depends on you.
Fred Rich and his Hotel Astor Orchestra, and It All Depends on You, on station KUWS.
It's my pleasure to introduce Miss Irene Corrigan of Iron River. Miss Corrigan is an associate of noted advice columnist Dorothy Dix. Good evening, Miss Corrigan.
Mr. Martin, I must say I am so distressed at what I fear is the ruination of today's young ladies. Ruination and corruption.
Which ones? Any around here?
Never mind him. What is causing this terrible trouble?
According to Dorothy Dix and all of us who follow her writings, it is the motor car and jazz. Every night, millions of women in millions of homes get down on their knees, agonizing over their girls who have gone off joyriding. God knows with whom.
It isn't Lou. He's still working up courage to get Harriet to hold his hand.
Yes, Miss Corrigan, I understand that there are many, many bad influences out there. And in here.
Mothers pay attention. Mothers let their daughters do things now of which they disapprove and which they know to be dangerous because Mrs. Smith and Mrs. Jones let their daughters run wild and their Sallys and Mamies have to meet their competition or else have no boyfriends and spend their evenings sitting at home and sucking their thumbs.
Sally Smith and Mamie Jones, eh?
Would you be still?
But if Mrs. Smith and Mrs. Jones and Mrs. Thompson and Mrs. Brown and all the other mothers had to live up to the union rules about making their daughters behave...
They have their own union now?
Apparently.
Eliminate the danger from rivalry with other girl petters and neckers, and mothers would keep their eyes on their daughters instead of shutting their eyes to the things they do not want to see.
Hallelujah, Miss Corrigan.
I'm just getting started, boy. There isn't one mother in a dozen who doesn't feel a pang of shame when she sees her teenage daughter start out half naked to a party and who doesn't wish she would at least put on another wisp of chiffon over her body and lower her dress an inch or two.
Say, Lou, you're looking a little warm and red.
I'm okay. Nothing that loosening my collar won't cure.
Listen, mothers everywhere. While it is true that a mother cannot change today's floozy flapper fashions, the United Sisterhood of Child Rearers could alter it in 5 minutes.
By golly, another union I never heard of.
Why, there's simply no end to the power that the mothers' union could exercise. They could reform places of amusement because girls and their beaus are principal patrons of dance halls and restaurants and theaters, and they would go bankrupt if the mothers' union turned thumbs down to them, and no girl was permitted to go where there was indecent dancing or bootleg whiskey or a filthy play exhibited.
Thank you, Miss Dorothy Corrigan of Iron River, with advice from columnist Dorothy Dix.
Very, very informative, Miss Corrigan.
Thank you. It is important through this new broadcasting tool to encourage mothers in their daunting tasks to keep the flower of the bloom of their daughters intact. Good night, gentlemen.
Here's Bubber Miley with Duke Ellington and doing the voom voom.
I do believe that is the demon jazz.
Right. Mothers, cover your daughter's ears. Bubba Miley and doing the voom voom.
We're honored to have the personnel director of the New York Stock Exchange, Mr. Cameron Beck. Mr. Beck spoke to students at the Superior State Teachers College today.
My, my, my. The beauties of your Wisconsin North Woods in autumn rival that of Vermont and Maine. I must say, I will spread the word about Wisconsin's wonders. If more people were to know about this striking land, more would pay you good people a visit.
Apparently, we have many bad girls, too. They could attract a crowd as well.
Yes, yes. I did hear the wise musings of Dorothy Dix. Rather shocking behavior these days. And that's what brings me here tonight, to speak over the radio of persons near and far away. At a meeting of 50 of the most influential financial men in New York City recently, it was found that all but two got their start in public schools of America. Thusly, a teacher can be one of the most outstanding forces in a child's life. Many of Wall Street's most prominent, internationally famous men say that a teacher is the one who started them on the right road to success.
Or in Jack's case, tried to maneuver him from the road to ruin.
That's my address, 2424 Ruin Road. Miss Gilmore was good at Road to Ruin lecture.
Indeed, quite. After coming into contact with thousands of New York's young men, I must say that when a young man failed in his work, it was generally through neglect. The prevailing phrase used by the failure was, I thought I'd get by with it. Our youth lack purpose. We need to instill that in them. Leadership comes from hard, hard work. In fact, young men out there in radio land, when you're not progressing as you think you should, don't look around and blame everyone else. Look at yourself in the mirror.
Kind of like the Wicked Witch in the Seven Dwarfs. She was always blaming Snow White for this, Snow White for that, and then looked into her mirror on the wall.
Is this humor?
No, he's serious. His analogies are not complex.
Very well, then. In conclusion, I urge teachers to be friendly with their pupils. Encourage them, work with them, and then make them work. This is the modern age of 1929. A high school education is a necessity for every young person.
Thank you, Mr. Cameron Beck, Director of Personnel at the New York Stock Exchange.
It was a real pleasure, Mr. Beck. These days are getting kind of exciting on Wall Street, eh?
Mark my words. The sky's the limit for investment. The recent up and downs are simply part of the free market adjustments that happen from time to time.
Time for one last number from our wax recordings. This is the Henry Archer Orchestra and Who on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you.
Amateur Orchestra and Who on station KUWS. Pretty provocative stuff today, Lou. First that Dorothy Dix thing, and then she said ruination, joyriding,
sucking their thumbs, filthy plays,
girl petters and knickers.
Half naked is what really got me.
Don't say naked anymore. Coming from you, it gives me the willies. So, how about that World Series game this afternoon?
Not all that great for us Cubs fans.
But you have to admit, Connie Mack sure pulled the wool over Joe McCarthy by pitching Howard Emke.
Go figure. The guy hardly started a game all year. He's 35 years old, and he beat my Cubbies and outpitched Charlie Root. Those Philadelphia Athletics are really good. 104 wins and just 46 losses.
Jimmy Fox hit a nice homer for the A's, and that was a lot of fun watching it on the big board at the Telegram Building today.
At least those darn Yankees didn't make the series this year.
Well, that's it, folks. Wake up tomorrow morning as we sign on the air at 6:30 with Tribune News Flashes, the Early Risers Club, hydro and weather reports, stock quotations, and the farm news at 10 a.m. And we'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. Well, the good Lord willing. And Lou can sleep tonight without thinking of Miss Corrigan as half-naked. For Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna wishing one and all a good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1929, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Your players tonight were Stan Turner as himself, John Munson as reporter Henry T. Russell, Kathy Bergren as Miss Irene Corrigan, and Kent Vogel as Mr. Cameron Beck. All events reported on Radio Superior 1929 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.